A Front Row is at 7:15, taking a look at Taiwan's new cultural landmark. Well, next week the programme will be taking a short summer break, so here's what we'll hear instead.
It changed the face of TV and, some might even say society itself.
The dumbest genre in entertainment.
It's a situation of elemental cruelty.
Or the one that tells us the most about ourselves.
It's about, fundamentally, about who we are.
Big Brother will get back to you.
Pandora Sykes and Shirin Kala explore the reality TV shows that have shaped our lives and the ethical issues they've raised along the way.
As the audience, we were complicit. A lot of people loved the cruel theatrics.
Unreal. A critical history of reality TV.
Next Monday to Thursday evening at 7:15 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Lillian cuts to the chase in The Archers at 7 o'clock. But first, Joe Lycett is getting to know the weird and wonderful obsessions of a comedian and of a Radio 1 DJ.
Is Joe Lycett's obsessions. Obsession, it's the reason some people have for living and the reason Holly Willoughby's bodyguard has a photo of me on the office wall. Some people collect stamps, some people collect garden gnomes. I collect stalkers, and they're all here this evening. Every week we'll be talking to people about the things that they're obsessed by and providing a safe space for the famous and the not-so-famous to confess their guilty secrets. So if you want to find out about Eamon Holmes' fixation with spicy sauce or E17 star Brian Harvey's collection of old towels, you've come to the right place. I want to start off by telling you about just a few things I'm obsessed with. This is something I cannot get enough of. It's the sound of Jesse from the pop band Little Mix playing a game where you have to imitate a Jamaican accent. Here it is.
Oh, are you... Oh, Marley, isn't it?
Marley, isn't it? I think I watch that clip about 3 times a day. And I'd urge the listeners at home to seek it out if they haven't seen it, just for the added value of Jesse's face. Hard to explain, but imagine a woman trying to eat a saveloy strapped to her forehead using only her lower jaw, and you're not far off. Now, this is one of the most wonderful things in the world. This is the sound of Maggie Smith saying the word delicious.
It is delicious.
You might think that audio is taken from Downton Abbey, but it's actually just a recording of her having a Greg steak bake at Weatherby Services. Now, we have an audience here full of obsessives, all ready to confess their secret shame. Audience, shout out, I'm a disgrace!
I'm a disgrace!
That felt great. We also have some celebrity guests to talk about their own hidden passions, as well as meeting this week's VOP, a very obsessed person, who will be sharing the details of their own rather unusual area of interest. Whoever I decide has the best obsession of the week, I will be awarding them with this, the exclusive Joe Lycett's Obsessions tea tray. A tea tray? Why is that, you ask? Because for some reason, my email to the producer got auto-corrected to tea tray when it was meant to be 10 grand. So let's say hello to this week's celebrity obsessives, comedian Catherine Ryan and Radio 1 DJ Greg James. Catherine, Greg, welcome to Obsessions.
Hello.
So I feel on occasions like this, it's very important to ask a relaxing, informal question to break the ice. So, when did each of you last eat an egg? Catherine, when was the last time you ate an egg?
I hard-boiled an egg and then put it into a salad. Probably 3 days ago, Joe. 3 days.
3 days. Greg, can you beat that?
I actually had an egg this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. That got a really great reaction I wasn't expecting.
Almost patronising, I feel. Catherine, you host a show called How'd You Get So Rich? And am I right in thinking that in your case, the answer is white privilege? Based on what I know about you, Catherine, I'm going to guess that your obsession is either the social reform policy of 18th century Lithuania or carpentry. Am I right?
No.
What is your obsession?
It's like carpentry. It's Kardashians.
Catherine's obsession is the Kardashians. For our listeners who don't know, the Kardashians are a reality TV family. Here's a flavour of the TV show Keeping Up with the Kardashians to add to your cultural education.
Okay, Kylie,
So you're moving into your house soon. Mm-hmm. Do you know how to do your own laundry?
No.
That's the Kardashians for you. So, for the benefit of people who don't know who the Kardashians are, like, tell me, who are they?
To me, they're so much more than just a reality show. Mm. They are a matriarchy of shape-shifting sisters who destroy men or turn them to women. It's very much a sci-fi program.
Can you explain the family tree of them? Because there's a lot of them, aren't there?
Oh, there are so many, and that's what makes it fun. So Robert Kardashian Sr. defended O.J. in the O.J. Simpson murder trial, and then...
Yes, Ross from Friends.
Yeah. And then he married Chris, and then they started having babies right away. They were this rich family. I love them, Joe, because I think it's become fashionable to disparage the Kardashians and to say, what do they even do?
But you seem to respect them for their business acumen, don't you?
I think they have great business acumen. And granted, Kim shot to fame when a tape was released, like an intimate videotape, but she didn't create that culture. That culture existed, and then she found a way to turn it around and thrive in it. And then I just like them. I think they pay tax, they support each other, they're really nice, and they have political issues that they'll insert into the show, sort of like a Trojan horse. They did a gun control one, and they act like, oh my God, should we try to shoot a gun? I don't know, is it fun? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm sure I heard them say they were pro-gun control. Yeah. But of course, they were, oh, you know what? I talked to some people, it's actually really dangerous. They had stats. So it sounds trivial. They've really helped me through some dark times.
I love it.
They don't cry, they get in the gym. That's what Khloe did. She started like weightlifting, I thought. Here we go. She's going to be drafted by the NBA, beat him at his own game.
Have either of you ever met a Kardashian?
Yes.
Have you?
I have. Surely you have.
I actually haven't, no.
They don't stroll into Radio 1?
Only when I'm strolling out. Who did you meet? Which one?
I met Courtney. She's my favorite one. And she was dating this just horrible Scott Disick for a long time, had 3 children with him. I don't like the man. I'll be honest. He's very charming, I will say that. He's annoyingly gregarious, but I just don't like him as a partner and father. And Courtney is an attachment parent, just like I am. She really looks after those kids. Oh, I just love her so much. And then I saw her, and unfortunately, I was a little bit merry at this awards, and I usually am not. It really happened by accident, because I'd been doing this tequila podcast. And then...
Oh, we are doing the wrong show, aren't we? Gosh.
I went up to her, and I was like, Courtney. And I thought, see, the trouble with reality television, when you feel that you're let into their lives and you get to know these people, is you really believe that you know these people, and you don't. And so I had this air of familiarity. I was like, Courtney, I love you so much. You need to leave Scott.
It's a bold intro, I'd say.
Yeah, it was not appropriate. And she's like, well, I don't know, like, why? Where would I go? And I'm like, anywhere, burn the house down, leave it.
Okay, Catherine, I want to see how obsessive you are about the Kardashians.
Okay.
So we're going to play a little game. It's called A Spot of Keepy Uppy. Now, the Kardashians TV show is called Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We want to know if you can tell us which of the following storylines are genuine episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and which are from the BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. We've changed the names in the Keeping Up Appearances storylines to be members of the Kardashian family, so it's not as easy as spotting which ones have Hyacinth and Richard in them. Okay, first one. Kim and Khloe by Mason a Fish. Chris tells the family that she wants to plan her funeral. Is that Keeping Up with the Kardashians or Keeping Up Appearances? Yes, you're listening to Radio 4.
That's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Totally.
Correct.
They went to this beautiful burial place.
Next one. Kim is searching for her dream kitchen worktop while Khloe thinks she may have athlete's foot.
Keeping Up Appearances.
Seriously?
That's the Kardashians. Although, look, listening to that plotline, I can quite understand why you're obsessed. It's riveting stuff, isn't it? And let's do one more. Chloe ends up getting stuck on a runaway horse while Lamar gets his head stuck in the ceiling.
Keeping up appearances.
Totally.
Yes, keeping up appearances. In case you're wondering, and I won't keep you in suspense, it's Emmett who gets his head stuck in the ceiling. Classic Emmett. Well, you got a good score, so either you are genuinely obsessed with the Kardashians or you like keeping up appearances more than you're letting on.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Catherine Ryan, everyone.
Thank you.
Now comes the point in the show where I talk to what we call in the business normal people. I've never met one before, but I hear they're truly awful. As our audience were coming in, we asked them to write down any obsessions they have on a piece of paper and then asked them to toss it in this bowl along with their car keys. Let's have a rummage around and see what I can find. First one. Oh, Isabel Diaz Gallagher. We put plants, taking photos of plants, normally end up killing them, even xenophytes.
Xenophytes. I managed to kill all my cacti from overwatering them. So yeah, that's...
You love them too much.
Clearly.
You want to drink, don't you? We are now gardeners. Question time. Thank you for your obsession. Isabel, everybody. Isabel. Where's Bridget? You've put here, I collect skulls of wildlife. If I see a piece of roadkill, I take it home and let it biodegrade, and then I keep what's left of the skeleton. I've got quite a collection. This is an unusual one. What's going on, Bridget?
I like interesting things that I find dead by the road.
What sort of size collection are we talking, Bridget?
Badgers, stoats... Weasel.
This is amazing. When did you start doing this?
Shrew.
And what's the shrew?
Delicious.
Where are you from?
Hereford.
Oh, that explains everything. Who are you here with, Bridget?
I'm here with my daughter.
She's really weird, isn't she?
Most glorious way.
Well, we live off-grid in a log cabin.
I hope so. Louisa, can I just ask, are you a hostage?
Yes. Yes. I didn't choose this life.
A round of applause for Louisa and Bridget, then. Now, Greg James, thank you for coming to the show. Greg, in your career so far, do you think you've put to bed the old myth that being a Radio 1 presenter makes you in any way cool?
Well, I'm on your show, so...
No! You recently completed a Gregathlon where you climbed the biggest peaks in the UK and you co-hosted an edition of Sounds Like Friday Night with Liam from One Direction. Which one damaged you more? The Gregathlon was amazing. Tell us... Yeah. Tell us what you did. It was incredible. You did.
Over a couple of weeks, because the beast from the east sort of halted everything, I climbed Ben Nevis, Snowdon and Scafell Pike and then cycled the distance between them, which is just quite a long way. It's nearly 500 miles. And we did it over a couple of weeks and managed to raise £1 million for Sport Relief. And it was amazing.
So, based on what I already know about you, I'm going to guess your obsession is either sheep farming in the Lake District or murder. Am I right?
My obsession is cricket. That's my obsession. Oh,
some cricket fans.
Yeah.
I've only just found out about football, so why should I care about another sport as well?
Where do we begin? A brief history of cricket. I have just always been obsessed with it. I think it's because I associate it with nice memories of being with my dad, so we would go and watch a lot of it. We would actually listen to a Test Match Special on Radio 4, and I would just, probably the first radio I ever heard was just nice elderly people talking about cricket, and I quite liked it. And I was like, I don't really know what this is, but I was probably 8 or so. And then I got taken to a couple of matches with my dad, and we watched, and it was the Ashes in 1997. So it was people like Shane Warne, and I worked out who these people were. And I was like, these people are superstars.
Is he your favourite player, Shane Warne, would you say?
I think he's the best bowler that's ever been. I think, and he's had such a colourful life. He's kind of a fascinating person.
I don't know any of them, so, I mean, mine's Wayne Rooney, but that's... It's the answer I give for every sport.
He played for Australia.
He's a fabulous diver.
I was really obsessed with being a groundsman when I was a kid. I was like completely obsessed with grass.
To what extent?
We didn't have a very big garden, but we had like a square bit of grass.
Yeah.
And I would try and preserve it and make it and sort of make it into a bit of a cricket pitch. I put a shower curtain over it so that the rain would stay off it, so that the next day it would be like, it's dry, I can play. It was quite a lonely childhood. But there was something about it that I really connected with, and I played a lot when I was at school, and I still go with my dad, and I sort of love it as a day out more than anything, just because you sit and you watch it and you can dip in, you get a bit of the story. I think that's the thing with Test match cricket in particular, is that people go, oh, it's 5 days, so boring. And at the end of the 5 days, it's a draw. What does that even mean? I always say it's a bit like getting into a properly good novel, and that if you really invest in it and you know what all the characters are doing and you know all the little battles that are going on and you know how the story develops, then you really get into it. But I do understand. If you're truly passionate about something, I think you've got to understand why other people think it's awful. And I do, but I try and convince people of it.
So it's basically Kardashians with bats.
Correct.
If the Kardashians played cricket, would you be interested in the Kardashians?
Of course, yeah. I'm all for trying to make it appeal to as many people as possible. And I think they do wacky things like that. Like they have DJs that go along and play on the boundary and stuff. So when there's a six or a four, they're like, the DJ starts playing and hyping the crowd, and they have fireworks and like flamethrowers and all that kind of stuff.
At cricket,
yeah.
So you played when you were younger, but you also played in charity matches. You played in the Test Match Special 60th anniversary match.
I did, yeah.
And you dropped a catch. I don't know what that means.
Well, I sort of am a bit phobic of playing now because I'm not very good anymore. And I was quite good as a kid, but when you're 18, I was like, I can't be bothered with this anymore. It's too much like hard work. Mm. And then they asked me to come and play these celebrity charity matches and stuff. But you play with ex-professionals who are still amazing and really so competitive.
Yeah.
So if you drop something, they are at you. And they're going, why that? What are you doing, mate? Why did you drop the ball? And
well, we have a clip, so should we just listen to that?
If they want to watch it, I'm at slip, hang on.
Oh!
You just dropped the catch! Just dropped it because I'm on the phone! What are you doing?
That's really bad, isn't it?
Come on, Rap, just dropped it live on Radio 1.
Sorry, mate. I'll tell you what, we'll wrap this up if you want, Greg.
So, but you might have... please do not applaud that. But you might have heard the person in the background going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's Michael Vaughan, ex-England captain. I mean, it was a low point for sure.
I like him saying, we'll wrap this up if you want. Like, you're gonna go, yeah, let's keep this going, I feel. Actually, the first international cricket match I'm reading here was between the US and Canada.
Wow.
It's piqued your interest, isn't it? Let's move on. We want to play a game with you to explore your cricket obsession. Now, some people say that cricket goes on a bit too long, and I can tell you exactly how long it goes on for. As you said, a test match lasts 5 days and has the potential to contain 30 hours of actual playing time. So in this game, Greg, I'm going to give you a list of activities. For each one, I want you to tell me, does this take longer than a test match? Does this take longer than a test match? Listening to an entire week of Greg James's Drive Time show on Radio 1.
It's slightly shorter, the week of shows. Cricket is longer.
Yes. Yes, your show takes 12 hours, just seems longer. Watching the original Lord of the Rings trilogy in its extended director's cut.
Yeah, that did drag. I think Lord of the Rings is longer.
Ooh. No, the cricket's longer. You can watch all of the Lord of the Rings films three times over in the time it takes to play a test match and still have a bit left over to start on The Hobbit. Although it's important to know that either way, you're a terribly boring bastard. And cooking 150 packets of Findus crispy pancakes, one packet at a time.
Let's say cricket's slightly longer.
No, it takes longer than the cricket. You can only cook 120 packets in that time, barely enough to burn the mouths of a medium-sized primary school.
The other thing I think you'd like is you can have a picnic to the cricket, so you can have your pancakes with you. But you can have a nice day out. We should do it. No?
No.
Okay. We can invite Bridget.
Oh, now you're talking, actually. Final one. Having sex 330 times. This is based on the international average duration, which I think us British people probably bring down a little bit.
Cricket is definitely longer.
Yes, apparently the international average time for sexual intercourse is 5.4 minutes. No, it must include foreplay. But that means you can have sex apparently 400 times in the space of a test match, unless you get thrown out by the Lord's security. Oh, got a special bonus question for you, Greg. Listen to this clip. How many runs were scored in that shot?
Two.
Incorrect, I have no idea. Greg James, thanks for sharing your obsession. Right. Time to speak to our audience again. Jennifer Hall.
Hiya.
So, Jen, where are you from?
I'm from Pontypridd, South Wales.
Oh, cool. Yay. You collect small things.
I do. I have some small things for you to look at if you would like to come and see some of my small things.
Yes. Whoa.
It's small versions of other things.
Little tiny things.
Little tiny. That's not my whole collection. That's just a selection of the collection.
How big is the collection?
Quite small. But there are quite a number of things in the small collection.
Little fork there for the benefit of the audience. I think my favourite is this tiny little teacup.
That was a...
And it's got Jen written on it. How adorable
that
is that?
That was a present of years ago from my sister.
Do you ever buy anything big?
I buy normal size things for day-to-day life, but for the collection,
but
just
for magic
small
times. Well, I think they're really lovely. They're really sweet and adorable, and I want to collect these things myself now as well because they're so lovely. Jen, everyone. Lovely. Where's Sophie Veazey? Hello, Sophie. You've mentioned the Kardashians.
I love the Kardashians.
Yeah.
I went a bit like a step extra to what you did, Catherine. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, tried to meet the Kardashians at Westfield.
Ah, yeah.
Plot twist, I went to the wrong Westfield. This was about, like...
Oh, Sophie, you idiot. One of your other obsessions in this very long list, Sophie, is dog spotting.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what
this
is.
You're not supposed to write dog spotting. That is one of the things about dog spotting. And the rule is you can only post pictures of dogs that you see in the street. And it's people that walk past dogs and they're like, oh, got to film it. And they, like, video them, like, petting the dog, like, 10 out of 10, would pet this dog again. Bread loaf. And it's all about, like, corgis and, like, 10 out of 10 thick buns on this corgi.
Bridget's in the background with an axe. This is great. I think you've got lots of lovely things going on in your life. I'm very happy for you, Sophie. Round of applause to Sophie and all of our accessories. Now for the part of the show where I welcome our special VOP guest. That stands for Very Obsessed Person. It's someone whose obsession isn't just a hobby. It's become a job and the thing that shapes their entire life. So everyone go wild and welcome to the stage, Matty Faint, everybody. Welcome, Matty.
Good evening.
Welcome to Obsessions.
Thank you.
Catherine, Greg, can you guess what Matty's obsession is? You can ask him for a couple of clues if you'd like.
Yeah, can we have a clue?
That's not a baby for listeners at home.
You've got a red nose on. Is it Lenny Henry?
It's possible.
Matty, what is actually your obsession?
Well, I'm a clown.
Oh.
Matty is?
Yes.
So what makes you more than just a clown? You're obsessed with this, right?
I've been a clown 47 years, which is amazing, really, because I'm only 35. I started very young. I run the Clown Museum in Dalston, London.
So you're the curator of this,
curator,
right?
Yeah.
The Clown Gallery and Museum?
It started off as a gallery of pictures, and now it's a museum, tucked away in the corner of a church.
Wow.
it's actually the clown's church.
Imagine the weddings. Take this seriously.
Yeah, so it has a long history, clowning, as we know, but the Clowns Gallery Museum has been at the Clowns Church since 1959.
Cool. And what originally got you into clowning? Is it a bit like drugs? You sort of start off dabbling with juggling and then it moves
well,
on.
Well, I came to London 1969, having got a scholarship with the National Youth Theatre. I've had an amazing 47 years of it.
In that bag, you've also got a clown costume that you're going to... Oh!
I was going to show you this. This is probably something you've never seen before. Do you know what this is, anybody? It's called a slapstick.
Oh. Oh, do it again.
See me later. Which is where we get the word slapstick comedy from.
Is that actually where it comes from?
Yeah, slapstick comedy.
Wow.
And that's about 1880s.
In the bag, you've got me some clown shoes, haven't you? Yeah, hang on, I'll take my shoes off.
Yeah, take
these
your
ridiculous,
shoes
normal human-sized shoes.
I'll just show you these while you're getting your shoes off. These are very old clown shoes from about 1920. So,
wow. Yes. Oh, there's this mask. Oh,
oh yes,
that.
This
glorious.
Is Punchinello's mask from the Commedia, where we get the punch from, Punch and Judy.
You see Punchinello. A lot of these sorts of things in Venice and that kind of thing.
You do, you do. Well, that's an original. First of all, I think you should put that on.
Oh, yes. Ah, yes, a jock strap.
It's a nose and this fantastic. Yes, and here we have an amazing jacket.
So where's this come from, Matty?
This is from
Clueless.
America. Made by a woman called Betty Cash, who died last year. In fact, the person wearing that jacket also died last year.
So I'm wearing a dead person's things. I'm going to put this wig on me, Matty.
Are you ready for
yes,
this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Are you ready?
This is where he hits with the slapstick.
Oh, Joe,
is that a nice look?
That looks a bit... It's a little bit Grayson Perry, really, isn't it?
It does look quite Grayson.
Apart from the hat.
This coat is incredible. It's a genuinely amazing...
It's beautiful,
like,
isn't it?
Modern isn't it?
It's yellow houndstooth, kind of like what Cher Horowitz wore in Clueless, but less tailored. It's oversized, longer at the back. It's really, really cool on Joe.
And the shoes are basically flippers, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I feel really happy in this. Matty Faint, everybody.
Thank
our
you.
Clown VOP of the week. Well, we've heard about all sorts of obsessions today, but only one obsessive can be crowned my obsessive of the week and walk off with the coveted tea tray. And this week it's...
Delicious.
I'm going to give it to lovely Sophie Veazey, who went to the wrong Westfield, because I just think that is so... Thank you to our wonderful audience, my guests Catherine Ryan, Greg James and Matty Faint. And remember to keep hydrated, never eat yellow snow and stay weird. Bye-bye! Joe Lycett's Obsessions was written and hosted by me, Joe Lycett. Some of the things I said were written by James Kettle with additional material from Laura Major and Mike Shepherd. The producer was Susie Grant and it was a BBC Studios production.
Stay weird. I think we can all manage that. Well, over.